of the Common Sense Campaign, an adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne on 98 and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash. And good morning, Dr. Liu.
Well, good morning. Right back to you, Laurie. A very fast week. Lots of news. Certainly the highlight was the Queen's passing. One of the things that I think is so interesting about her reign was just how personal she was, and how, for those of us who are old, she's been part of our lives since 1952, when you really think about it. And I think it's her ability to, you know, manage a worldwide empire in decline and maintaining the ability to keep the Commonwealth together after so many, you know, divisive issues that sprung up as the colonial empires of all the European countries fell apart after World War II. I think it's a testament to her leadership and her ability to work through issues. Certainly the fact that Winston Churchill was one of her favorite people is a big plus in my view.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that the other aspect of news that I do want to talk about, and we'll talk about with our guest today, Commander D. Cox, who will be coming on in shortly, is that this whole business of 9/11 and what it means and what it continues to mean, and how so many people are wedded to a 9/10 approach, meaning before 9/11, you know, how do you approach terrorism? How do you approach world threats? As in a pre 9/11 mode, as Obama did, taking the view that, as he did at his Cairo speech, that basically American foreign policy is to blame for a lot of the problems in the world. Okay, so, you know, when you factor that in, along with issues pertaining to, you know, not just foreign policy, but domestic issues, and the degree to which Obama's attempt to bring about so-called fundamental change to the United States is something that I think we need to really kind of think carefully about. And I think that when you see the fundamental change that is going on today, I mean, now you have openly socialist approaches to solving the country's problems, okay? Now, we can define socialism in any way you want, okay? But clearly, BLM is a Marxist group, okay? Antifa is a fascist Marxist group. The fact of the matter is that these people, along with the climate change extremists, are driving the train in terms of what this country is doing. And so one has to be cognizant of how it is that these people have welded so much power. And it seems to me that they are driving the country over the cliff deliberately, because it's been a Marxist approach to destroy this country in one way or another. And so I know that when I talk to Commander Cox, we're going to talk about how China, and we've already talked about this last month, but the fact of the matter is China has a clear strategy for defeating the United States without firing a shot. And when you see people like, you know, Biden, you know, taking money through his family, you know, with Hunter Biden and all the rest of them, and other members of the elected officials, you know, then we have a problem, folks, okay? You know, it's like, hey, Houston, we do have a problem here. And I think that talking about these kinds of things, especially now in the post-MAGA, people are the enemies of the state, it's extremely important to figure out what's going on and then think carefully about what recently happened to Eagle Forum. I don't know, Laurie, did you happen to see what happened to Eagle Forum?
I did not.
Well, here's what is going to be happening to a lot of people, all right? Because Eagle Forum was sued by a group of parents opposed to the VCAP bill, which we've talked about, okay? They sued, and the judge essentially went along with them. And so now Eagle Forum has to defend itself not only on that issue, but the fact that the Department of Justice now wants to, you know, bring Eagle Forum to task because they dared to work towards making the VCAP bill possible. And what they're doing is they're taking them to court to demand who they talked to, how much time they spent, how much money they did. It's an onerous approach, and what they're trying to do is shut down opposition. So when you take all of this into account, especially the MAGA speech that Biden made, it seems to me that us here on the conservative side of things better take cognizance of what the hell is going on and be prepared to fight these people tooth and nail, as Eagle Forum has done. They told the Department of Justice, "Go to hell. We are going to fight this." And I would argue it's going to go all the way to the Supreme Court. And I hope that the Supreme Court does the right thing and tells the DOJ to go pack sand. But I'm ahead of myself. Our guest is on the phone this morning, Lieutenant Commander D. Cox. Good morning. How are you this morning?
Hey, good morning, Dr. Lou. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I'm fired up about some of the stuff that we've had to deal with, I'll tell you that. So let's get right to it. I know that, you know, we've got a short amount of time, and good Lord, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. One of the things that I wanted to get to with you is this, you know, the 9/11, you know, remembrance was just on Sunday. And as a combat veteran in Afghanistan, what are your thoughts given what Biden did with Afghanistan last year and the degree to which he has just completely sold out those of you who fought in Afghanistan, as well as opened up the country to another terrorist threat from the same place?
Well, it is a day of commemoration, and you know, we memorialize all those who lost their lives on 9/11, both in the air and at the Pentagon, and worst of all, there at Ground Zero in New York. You know, our thoughts and prayers go out to the families, the widows, the children, you know, the friends of all those that lost their lives in the tragic incident of that day. When we talk about Biden and, you know, the withdrawal from Afghanistan, anyone who has been in the service or been, you know, has been a first responder, you know, has had to be trained and operate in crisis situations. You know, we all could see that it was completely mismanaged, not planned, or at least not executed the plan. We would have had a plan for that. Everyone knows that the military, you know, takes planning very seriously, but the haphazard withdrawal there, you know, we can talk about, you know, is the world a more dangerous place with the Taliban in charge of Afghanistan again? Yes, without question. But the bigger issue at play here is, you know, that was really America's first hard look at how the Biden administration intended to operate its foreign policy. And yes, even our domestic policy and the disaster that was then and is and continues to be. You know, he is a traitor of the highest portion, and you know, the withdrawal from Afghanistan against the larger strategic background of, you know, the neighbor China, who does share a border with Afghanistan, is just one of you know, Biden and this administration and the party that's in power right now continuing to cave, along with, you know, some rhinos that you know, that you and I have discussed before, though, that, you know, they continue to cave to Xi Jinping and the Chinese Communist Party and to set the stage for America's managed decline. And these are the words that these people will use, right, is America's managed decline and China's continued, you know, powerful ascent. And so, you know, when we look at what Biden's purpose and policy is, you know, he doesn't give one whit about U.S. service members. I mean, you know, checking his time, you know, checking his watch, you know, at Dover Air Force Base when receiving remains, you know, I mean, it's very clear to anyone, you know, the vax mandate, anything to do with the military that he and his party are trying to destroy, you know, the very heart of, you know, America's power and Afghanistan was really our first look at that.
Well, I mean, you talk about his not caring about things. He left so many Americans and all those people that I'm sure some of the people that you had an opportunity to meet and work with in Afghanistan just left them there to be, you know, put to by the Taliban and then brought into the country people who hadn't been vetted. I mean, when you think about it, the reality is that Afghanistan has now become worse than it was during Mullah Omar's rule when, I mean, at least he told al-Qaeda, he tried to tell bin Laden, don't do anything to the United States. Obviously, bin Laden didn't follow him. But right now, the argument basically is that the Taliban don't have a great deal of control except in the cities, and they have, you know, essentially agreed to work with al-Qaeda and ISIS, and without any control out in the hinterland, they're free to do anything they want. And the argument basically is that we're back even worse than where we were when we went in there in 2001. I mean, what are your thoughts about the idiocy of just a wholesale pullout along the lines that he did, and what it actually does in terms of continuing to worry about terrorism at this point?
Yeah, well, Lou, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I'll just ask the question, you know, who do you think one of the first envoys that were received by the Taliban once they assumed power in late August last year?
Oh, could it be China?
They received first.
Yeah, I mean, the strategic implications of what Biden did are going to be manifested sooner rather than later in terms of China's ability to work their will in that area, you know, and whether it's a combination of getting the natural resources that they want, or, you know, denying the United States those resources, or, you know, figuring out a way to gradually work their way to use these terrorist organizations to their own ends. It seems to me that's exactly what we're dealing with.
Well, I would offer a slightly different take on that. I do believe that there is, you know, definite room for concern there, Dr. Luke. You know, but I think that the way that this rolls is that, you know, we go back to the discussion that you and I had on the show last month, which is, you know, it's yet another act of the Malthusian Marxist war on humanity. And, you know, this is a contest. This is a contest of wills and power and ideology that the world has never seen before, certainly not played out on as grand of a scale globally as we are seeing now. But the challenge that I think is in front of us is, yes, do we worry about terrorism? We do. But you got to realize who the first delegation was. It was China. And you know, look at what China has done with the Uyghurs in Xinjiang, and understand that the Taliban will have been made very much aware that if they so much as get out of line, that China will probably come down on them like hammer on nail.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's one of the things where the Taliban learned a very important, dangerous lesson, but a very important lesson, you know, in contending with the United States and not even though they were brothers of a feather, you know, not reining in Osama bin Laden, you know, that there's another way to win, and China will have made this very apparent to the Taliban, and that is through demographics. Okay, so while we worry about terrorism, the Muslims know, okay, and I've got friends that are Muslim, and they're some of the finest people I know. This is not about, even though we contend with them ideology-wise, you know, ideologically, we respect the religion and you know, and their beliefs. But here's the thing, is that they are out producing us, you know, reproducing us worldwide, and I'm talking about us, meaning everyone other than the Muslim nation, is that, you know, you look at Europe and cities in Northern Europe, unrecognizable you know, under the George Soros plan implemented for Europe, and then under the George Soros plan, you know, funded and implemented here in the United States, with the aided and abetted strongly by, you know, the Democratic Party and rhinos, all dating all the way back to the change in our immigration policy during the Clinton administration. And so what they're doing is that they are outbreeding us 8-1. Okay, go look in Detroit, go look in anywhere in Michigan, Minnesota, you know, any of these northern climes where they were resettled, you know, large numbers of immigrants coming in from Africa, and, you know, and where they've been resettled, and they are out producing us, reproducing us, you know, at a 8-1 clip. And when you go, you know, listen, you know, you don't have to look too far, you know, look on YouTube, and you can find videos of you know, imams in Amsterdam, you know, laughing, you know, at the government, because they know that, you know, in 20 years, the government is going to be them, you know, and people who think that Sharia law, you know, is not ever going to be seen here in the United States, have not traveled to Michigan, have not traveled, you know, to other Muslim-heavy areas, you know, within this country, you know, and they are not going to adapt. You know, it's one of those things where they know that they can implement, you know, just exercise patience, and then they can implement their will, just as European settlers did here when they first arrived. And so, you know, what Afghanistan and Iraq in the last 30 years, you know, of war in the Middle East have taught the, you know, the Muslims is to be patient, because they are winning the demographic game, and, you know, it's seeing fruition now, but, you know, it's unfortunately going to be my children that, you know, are going to have to contend with this, and they're going to be living in a world that is completely different, you know, than the world that you and I grew up in, Lou. Okay, right. So it's not going to be white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, you know, it is going to be one of different ideologies, you know, just right here on U.S. soil, and it's intended to be that way. It has been engineered, socially engineered, you know, dating back to the Clinton administration in the 1990s when they changed our immigration policy.
Well, I mean, you know, we've always talked about the Roman analogy as to, you know, the destruction of America, and there's certainly elements of that for sure, but another element to the Roman, you know, collapse was exactly this demographic problem. They could not, you know, the Italians just did not continue to produce, and there are a lot of reasons for that. But I think you're spot on with this whole question of demographics, and especially in Europe, how it, you know, pans out here. You're absolutely correct about, you know, places like Dearborn and other places like that. And it is a matter of time if we let demographics control things. But, well, let me just add, you know, we've kind of, you know, gotten, I think, into issues that need to be discussed. But I also want to talk a little bit about the foreign policy threats that we've talked about before. And I know that we have mentioned China's long war against, you know, the United States, and how they believe that they can defeat us without having to fire a shot. So can you kind of take that up, and let's just see where things are as you see them, because you are an intelligence expert in China, and I'd like to just see where you think we are since our last discussion a couple of months ago.
Sure. So, you know, going back to 2018, you know, the Chinese Communist Party declared a people's war against the United States. And, of course, you're never going to hear the media discuss it. Around that same time, we received a study from an international media working group that examined the CCP's infiltration of mainstream media. And people need to understand that if we do a study of Marxism and of communist infiltration and subversion worldwide over the last, you know, 120 years, you know, which is when it really started in earnest, you know, they have a set way that they begin to infiltrate a nation and take down, you know, take down a nation from the inside. They have tried to do it by force in different places, and that's typically been met with mixed results for communists worldwide. But make no mistake, you know, they have been working on America for decades, and it was absolutely part of their plan. Just this past week, we saw, you know, evidence presented where, you know, former premier of China, Jiang Zemin, in 2005 authorized a U.S. company called Konik, which designs election software, and they began a joint venture with Konik, set them up here in the United States, and then that company continued to build product and market share. And now, you know, when you look at Dominion voting machines and other elections nationwide since 2006, you know, Konik has been a part of that. And what is so amazing about that is that, you know, Konik got its a lot of its technical expertise through the Confucius Institute set up on the campus of Michigan State University beginning in, you know, around 2006. And so when you look at, you know, a lot of people, they oh my goodness, they call this racist, you know, when we began expressing concern about the Confucius Institutes and their opaque dealings, you know, through institutions of higher learning. And thank goodness for the previous administration's action to shut down as many of those Confucius Institutes as they could. But there are still, you know, several, especially operating in the North and the Northeast, a couple out west, you know, where they're still active, you know. But look at what happened at Michigan State. Look at what's going on with Konik. And the FBI continues to cover this up. And you know, we look at, you know, I don't care what anybody in the Biden administration says or the FBI. You know, we will use the First Amendment and we will exercise our freedom of speech to state the truth, which is that China has been operating inside of U.S. elections and manipulating you know, software to gain predetermined outcomes for the last, you know, what, 15 years at least.
Right.
And that includes Alabama. You know, you can't look at, if you look at some of the work that Jason Tsai and his team have done right here in Alabama, you know, you can't even look at a what we would call nominally, you know, a deep red state of Alabama and look at what's been going on, even with our conservative politics and the problems that we have with the Republican Party not being responsive to true conservative base, okay? And you know, we've talked about that before, Lou, but, you know, the real challenge is that, you know, that it has allowed a completely ulterior, covert takeover of U.S. elections. And at the same time, the Democratic Party was very sly, and they worked on, you know, having crossovers from the Democratic Party into the Republican Party, or converting people inside the Republican Party who were only interested in perpetuating their own power,
right,
to basically, you know, play ball with them. And so if you control elections, as I've said to you before, if you control elections, then it's power for you and your chosen for as long as you want it.
Well, I mean, I completely agree with that. And election integrity has certainly been a highlight for the conservative movement in the country. Now, whether or not we prevail on that remains to be seen after 2020. Let me ask you a couple of other things, though. I've noticed that in the attacks on our food production system, we've had this discussion before, but of the 20 that I know of, three of them are related to fertilizer, which we know that fertilizer is key to food production, and there's a fertilizer shortage due to the Ukraine war. What is your sense of what they're trying to do on this level? And my understanding, too, is that we've had at least three airplanes that somehow, you know, hit these food processing places. Can you just talk a little bit about that and what your intelligence folks are talking about in terms of the deliberate attempts to try to shut down American food production, along with buying up land, and I would argue manipulating the food processing, system.
Sure.
In a way that's so, detrimental.
Yeah. So there are a couple of things going on, just like with the election issue and so many other things that we see, just not right. Okay. Intuitively, you know, Americans see what's going on, and they know that it's just not right, and so it's clear between the politicization of federal law enforcement that, you know, these incidents are not being reported by the mainstream media, and it's far beyond 20. I mean, the Gateway Pundit reported in their most recent update on that we're now over 100 just in the last several years, and that when you plot them out, and I sent that graph to you last month, but when we plot them out, it's very clear that it's a planned human-induced pattern. You know, these are not incidents or accidents. These are targeted attacks, and the likely answer it's two or threefold. And the first answer is that part of it is part of a trend that has been happening inside of ag over the last 20 years, where a lot of U.S. production has been moved to Brazil, and, you know, offshoring of our processing and shipping, and, you know, just everything that goes on to raise large food stocks and then to be able to process them quickly and for profit. A lot of that business has been moved to Brazil and other places. But when you look at that, so there may be a little bit of insurance fraud going on there, you know, where people, you know, these companies or individuals may have, you know, holdings, you know, very expensive holdings where they had a processing plant or a warehouse, and now they're upside down on that, or, you know, they're looking for a payment, right? You know, so there's like the level one of possible nefarious activity. But even that would not explain the sheer scale of what's going on. And,
exactly.
And like you said, unbelievable. You know, it's not a coincidence when you have, you know, airplanes crashing into, you know, processing plants. And, you know, the General Mills plant in Georgia, for instance, you know, I mean, it's just not an accident, you know. I mean, that's not
right.
Normal, and I think anybody would recognize that. But it's been likely the bigger thing that's going on here is that you can bet that the CCP has been working with the DNC here in America to get to the labor unions, and which they're deeply infiltrated, okay? We know it. It's been a problem, a long-standing problem in the United States dating back over a century, where Marxists infiltrated, labor unions in the United States and agitated for social change. And of course, they were trying to get to socialism. And you know, there were, unfortunately, in modern times, people today are not well read in what was going on in America back in, you know, the times of the Catcher in the Rye, you know,
right.
and the 19-teens and the 20s, you know, and the 30s, when there was so much turmoil on the American labor scene. And so when we look at historically the role of Marxists in unions in America, and then we look at the People's War that's been declared by China in 2018, we must recognize that this is most likely union action. And you know, and some people, you know, gravitate towards, you know, the visible bogeyman, you know, and the black, you know, Antifa and that crowd. But it's not, you know, they may have a couple of players involved in that, but it's probably inside jobs by unions, you know, setting fires, you know, working through, you know, the maintenance shops to make things break badly and then blow up, you know, this is. Yeah, this is how these businesses are probably being sabotaged in the middle
okay.
of the night. And so, you know, that really is what's going on. The more insidious outlook for this, you know, is that, okay, if the unions are involved and we're seeing it at this scale, what is the political motive of our own Democratic Party trying to declare an end to abundance, as Emmanuel Macron said in France a couple of weeks ago. You know, he publicly declared to the French people and to the EU that the era of abundance is over. And so when we look at this, you know, there's this Malthusian Marxist war that's underway. We have to understand that there are many layers to this onion, and there are so many people that want to see America taken out and want to see America, you know, destroyed from within, or any ways that any means that they can make it happen, you know, and that includes, I mean, you can't look at what Joe Biden and his administration is doing in America right now and not understand that they are purposely trying to wreck the United States of America. And you know, it's all part of, you know, it doesn't take much of a deeper reading into Klaus Schwab and the Great Reset to understand that it's predictable. You know, when you look at what their goals are, and the simultaneous takedown of the global economy, the simultaneous, you know, individual economies and you know, silos of power, economic power in Europe, and look at what the Germans are allowing to happen to their economy, and Ukraine, it is not Ukraine, it is not Russia, okay, it's not, and you know, they've made so many intentional bad calls to really throw a monkey wrench into, you know, powerhouse economies, that this is all part of a structured takedown. You know, they want these economies to crash. They want things to get so bad that people clamor for anyone with a solution. And that's what they're waiting for, Lou. They're waiting for things to get so bad, and not even waiting. You know, those in power, okay, as Klaus Schwab bragged during a meeting back in 2020, you know, that they have infiltrated every major government in the world. Okay, I mean, he said it on video. Have it on video. You know, that this is their goal, and he specifically used that word, infiltrated. And so, you know, we have to look at the Marxist leanings of the WEF and this Malthusian Marxist war that we're absolutely in right now. It's a revolution.
All right, so just as we get ready to close out, I want to just take a minute to talk about the Great Reset as it applies to the vaccine and the destructive effects that you're seeing worldwide on populations because of these early deaths that are taking place. Can you just wrap it up with that kind of quickly?
Sure. So what we're seeing right now is the United States, based off of most recent data from the week of August 22nd, is that we are continue to trend between 5 and 10% excess mortality than what we've seen historically. And where we are is we are 28% above 2019 levels. 28% above 2019 levels. We've also seen other research come in the last week or two on Switzerland, okay, tiny little Switzerland over in the Alps, right? And they are seeing similar trends, and, you know, where they've got this pulse, you know, not even a pulse, but this aggravated trend line, you know, and these are all government data, Lou. You know, this isn't, you know, us, you know, winging it off of somebody's, you know, bad spreadsheet, okay? These are government data that are produced by the Swiss, by, you know, I mean, government, you know, Public Health Scotland, the UK Health Security Agency are all reflecting this continuing trend, you know, of surging excess mortality, and it looks like it's going to stay with us for a while, and that the average worldwide, especially in heavily vaccinated countries, which, you know, Europe especially, and here in America, you know, somewhere around 70%, it might not be that much in reality, but, you know, we're going to see continued elevated excess mortality, where we see, you know, young people keeling over from heart attacks, you know, while mowing their lawn. Like, I had a friend that I work with, you know, his best friend, you know, keeled over last year, 27 years old, mowing his lawn, had been vaccinated. You know, just, you know, and so these wicked people, okay, because it is a contest of good and evil, are going to continue to try and marginalize and explain this away, but they're not going to be able to hide the bodies for much longer, okay? And especially when we look at the, you know, the very strong statistical correlation with drop-off in birth rates, which are now, trending, like in places like Taiwan, it's 23% year over year. Okay, 23% drop in the birth rate. I mean, that is completely unsustainable, Lou. So when you look at the rise in all-cause mortality, you know, people dying much younger than they would otherwise. Also, the fact that we now know through other honest researchers that they have injected cancer-causing agents into, you know, the SARS vaccine. And so while we're worried about things like myocarditis and sudden death from heart attacks, you know, the long-term trend on this that's going to really, you know, continue to take people out is likely to be cancer. And so, you know, that's what we're seeing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you talk about the demographic problem that we're facing anyway and continued low birth rates, then what you're seeing here, especially in the young people, young men, it is certainly a tipping point. If we're not at the tipping point, we're getting close to it. Deke, I can't thank you enough for taking some time. I know you're very busy, but thank you for coming on once again, and we will be in touch soon. Thanks again.
Yes, sir. Hey, before I go, I wanted to leave the audience with a recommendation. So just published on September 9th over the weekend, Ian Easton of you know, Taiwan scholar fame, published in The Diplomat an article titled Xi Jinping's Endgame for America. And it's a brief opinion piece, but it's eye-opening for our audience if they wanted to explore that further to see what the Chinese Communist Party has in store for America.
Just text me that, and I'll make sure I get it out, and Lori can publish it too. All right? All right, Deke.
Well, thanks
again. Take care, guy. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks.
Well, Lori, another
scary stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's more than scary because it's happening, and the Biden administration is complicit, and we know it. So, folks, on that note, you know, buyer beware. Make sure you know who you're voting for. Make sure you know what's going on, and that means you've got to take some time to get involved. We thank you very much. Lori, thank you for giving me that extra time. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Y'all have a good week. Bye.
Good show. Thank you. You've been listening to Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Kemp. I'm an OC, brought to you by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations on 98 in Daphne and in Malbus on 181 with the state-of-the-art car wash. If you missed part of this program or you want to tell a friend, you can listen to it later at WABF1480.com. Now resuming regular broadcasting.